When I moved from La Crosse, Wisconsin to Indiana in 2010, everything I owned fit in the back of a small U-Haul truck. Largest items were a couch and a bed. I did have a lot of books then, being after seminary, you get quite a collection. And I had a couple bookshelves, but I didn't have a lot of extraneous things. There was a childhood baseball card collection, which I don't have now, a couple knickknacks, a modest wardrobe, and a television with a whopping 21-inch screen. There was some kitchenware, an IKEA table and dresser, and that really was about it. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff. But 9 years later, in a four-bedroom parsonage, showed me how easily stuff accumulates. Sarah and I got married, had a baby, and that brought more stuff. Some things were given as gifts, like wedding gifts or baby gifts, and some things just piled up over the years. A new kitchen appliance here, or some more books there, television here, a guest bed there. One time when Tom, Sarah's dad, Tom, and my mom was there, Barb was there, Tom brought like 100 books down for my shelf also. So, well, that's what pastors do, you know. I can't use these, you take them. So by the time we moved, I went from that small U-Haul to a semi, packed and driven by professional movers. And by the way, that was after a big garage sale, which we got rid of quite a bit of stuff. And it seems that since moving to Alec, even though our house is not bigger than the, our house is a little smaller than the parsonage we were in, our war with stuff is a losing one. In addition to our own home, we have to continue to deal with Sarah's dad's house, trying to find some new places for his things. A lot certainly can accumulate over a lifetime, which is as good an analogy as any for today's sermon. Because just as we need to do a physical house cleaning from time to time for the sake of our own health and well-being, we need to do a spiritual house cleaning as well. John the Baptist would call such a spiritual house cleaning repentance. We find him at the Jordan River helping people clear the muck out from their lives through baptism. John drew many people who wanted a fresh start, who wanted to get rid of the old stuff in their hearts that was weighing them down. And through this baptism of repentance, they would be prepared to receive the kingdom of God, which John tells them is at hand. God's kingdom, of course, we know, is known fully and God's chosen one, his Messiah, Jesus Christ. We hear of this Messiah both in the reading from Isaiah and in John's own words. Isaiah tells us about this shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse, of course, is the father of King David, and David was supposed to have an eternal dynasty. He won't lack a son to sit on the throne. That was what God's promise in 2 Samuel 7, but it didn't seem to work out that way. When Isaiah proclaimed these words in the late 8th century BC, the Davidic monarch, the descendant of King David, Ahaz, was weak. He was besieged by other powers. He put his faith in sketchy foreign alliances over God. He, in fact, put his trust in other gods as well. In other words, he became like any other ancient monarch. Corrupt, self-serving, and ultimately self-defeating. But God's chosen one is different, radically different from any kind of other king. He's infused with God's own Holy Spirit. He doesn't judge by appearances or by what is most politically expedient. He doesn't seek to enrich himself. He doesn't even rule by brute force. Verse 4 in our Isaiah reading sounds pretty martial at a first glance, but there's a clue there. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Notice that that isn't done with There are no swords, there are no spears, there are no clubs, there are no bombs or missiles or drones. This is not someone who reigns with weapons of war. He doesn't lead a conquering army. This poetic language, along with the idyllic picture of the lion and lamb, tells us this king is very different. His one weapon is the word of God, which he is, and he speaks in its fullness. And that word is a purifying fire, to use John's language. John tells us he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. That fire cleans out the chaff, all the junk that accumulates in our lives, the grudges, the held on to hurts, the grievances, the unforgiveness that we just keep holding on to. That fire cleanses out all of our sins, including and especially those that we keep committing over and over and over again. We all do it. Like contemptuous attitudes we have towards certain other people, or the gossip we spread. I could list all kinds of behaviors that we seem to be addicted to. It's part of living in this fallen realm. But Jesus, the Word of God, clears out all of that. Jesus cleanses and purifies us from all that spiritual garbage day after day, week after week. As the Small Catechism tells us, our baptism signifies that the old creature, that old sinful Adam and Eve in us, is to be drowned and to die daily, through daily contrition and repentance. And that, on the other hand, daily a new person is to come forth and rise up to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Every single day we die to sin. Every single day we rise up. Jesus makes us ready to receive him and to receive his kingdom. We receive that through our own baptism. Baptism makes us a child of God. And the process of repentance that entails takes our whole lives. Whenever we come to church, we receive refreshment, the means of grace that make that repentance, that spiritual cleansing, a reality. We confess our sins together. We hear his word together. We receive his body and blood together. All of that is spiritual fire for our souls, a spiritual house cleaning. When we receive him that way, we receive him as Lord within us. Such a reception is not usually the way the world works. We seem to only know top-down rule. This world usually works by imposition. Few people or one person at the top. Jesus works on us from the inside out, from bottom up, not top down. He is not born to rule over us as an earthly monarch would. Jesus is born to rule within us and to bring in God's kingdom among us in our lives, starting the moment of our baptism. As the classic carol puts it, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.